Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big look to the officials after you all.
He do that on film a lot. If he get into him, if he don't get the ball or if he don't get a call, he cry. But he's a good receiver. He's a good tight end, though. He's a great player.
Did you know he could be rattled a little bit? You said you saw him crying on film. Like, is that something that you knew?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, but when he don't get it his way, he complains for a rest. We don't do that.
Does he not like physicality or?
Nah, he loves it. He wants you to be physical so he can push on. So it's just something he do.
Stephon Gilmore, interesting comments, huh? Because he usually says nothing.
Yeah.
And he had a good game today and spent a good portion of
has
it.
Has he had a bad game yet?
On Zach Ertz, no. But there he is basically saying you can get under his skin because
he's a baby.
You know, he's a baby, cries after things don't go his way. Wow.
He's correct, by the way. And he's using crying as a...
it's not really
he's crying.
There's nobody...
Whining.
There's nobody in the league that cries and whines more than Travis Kelce. When you watch Travis Kelce play, you could have a defender 5 feet away from him, and he'll be holding up his hands to the refs like he got interfered with.
Tight end position. I deal with it every day with Fourier.
Yeah.
Tight ends, they cry
divas.
A lot. Yeah, divas. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Fourier's not
a
diva.
What?
He's not a diva. You never saw a whine on the field.
Who? Fourier?
Yeah,
he does in the studio every single day. What are you talking about?
Everyone whines because you won't let him talk.
Go on. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm guilty.
They fight
it's
my fault. Talking
to somebody whines because he thinks he doesn't get to talk. Somebody does.
After every show, I tape
you whine. You whine more than Fourier, by
incessantly.
The way. You do.
What did I whine?
You whine all the time.
All the time.
Just because you guys overtalk me, shut my mic off.
Overtalk you?
And the first thing you do is you go on the offensive and you say some lie about about someone else talking the vast majority of the time. That's what you do. It's called
A lot of people call up. They call it 70-30.
No,
you talk
70%,
I talk 30%. And Glenn,
you're famous. You're confusing making salient
and
good.
Isn't that kind of liquid?
No, just bear with me.
Okay.
All right,
different salient.
Okay, they use that in fake breasts.
That was good.
Don't wish.
That was pretty good.
So Zach Ertz ends up with 11 targets. He had 9 catches, 94 yards. The longest was a 25-yard catch. But he didn't burn you. He didn't burn you.
Yeah. Good player. Yeah,
so you look at it, and you look at the numbers, and you say, those are pretty good numbers if you didn't see the game, but he really didn't burn you. They did a pretty good job on him on big plays. They had trouble getting the ball to
surprising, Zachary's. Though, yeah. that Gilmore would use those words, you know. He cries. Yeah, we know what he means. He complains and whines about being – hit or this, or not hit, but being interfered with or whatever.
Yeah,
but
he said he likes being physical, and he does. Yeah. He likes the physicality of it.
Right.
But those things get around. If a guy's a baby, if you can't whack him, if you don't take care of business on the field, a guy gets doing something that prohibits him from performing,
you're going to get
that.
I don't think he was talking about that, though. I know you're absolutely right. If word spreads fast, if someone can be...
Like you did to pull Andre Reed.
So you can
treat
like a punk, you know. That's true. But I don't think he was talking about that. I think he was talking about the fact that he complains all the time.
All right, let's go to Alex. Alex is in Cambridge. What's up, Alex?
Talk about the offensive line again. Who's the one who's supposed to be calling the blocking plays?
Center.
Is it the center?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like a lot of guys are bull rushing up the middle. And, I mean, sure, the left tackle is going to be replaced next week. But I still think the center needs, we're getting blocks mixed up the middle and things like that.
Well, he's a backup player, Alex. You're right. That is not he's not your starter. He's a backup caliber player. Nice play, a nice backup guy. He's done
not a bad job.
He's done a reasonable job, but that's – there's definitely a drop-off when you talk about Andrews.
When you talk about the center, though, he'll call if we're going to slide, if you're going to sit back, and whatever protection you have. He calls the protections. Tom says, where's the strength? And he calls the protection. So it looks like, you know, Newhouse isn't getting the call because he's not part of the
guys are coming in clean on him.
He's getting the call. He's just not capable of doing it.
So when we've seen this in the past, when an offensive line flows well, they're like a school of fish, and they're all going in the same direction and where they're supposed to go.
Yes.
And at times, this one looks like the fish are breaking off. But I would go back to Ted Karras as center. I don't think he's bad as a pass blocker. He seems to hold up in the middle on pass blocking.
Yep.
Biggest problem you see with him is he gets no push, or certainly doesn't get the push that you saw with David Andrews when they're running the ball up the middle.
But one thing about the Patriots, if you get a hat on hat, you're going to hold them up virtually for 3 seconds and enough time to throw the ball. What's happening is that left tackle is not holding them up, getting a hat on hat. He's missing them completely, and they come full bore at him. So if you get in front of someone, he can slow him down enough to give Tom a chance to get the ball up, but he's letting guys in clean.
And a lot of times it's probably the wrong assignment because
we're seeing
linebackers just cut through the gap and nobody is touching
them. The stunts they have,
they're coming in that
play
side.
Those,
right.
You know, they teach you that. So it's a shame. I don't want to make fun of the guy, but he's just not talented enough to play.
It's a problem, Alex. You know, they're going to have to tidy up this offensive line. It's a problem. I think a lot of stuff could be fixed if Isaiah Wynn comes in here and can hold up, you know, his end of the bargain. I think you're going to see it vastly
improved.
You'll
be very surprised how good he plays. I think he's a very talented kid.
I know there'll be an improvement, but you have very little evidence that he's going
to be. I watched him all the time.
Well, I watched him for six quarters, Fred.
Six quarters. All the time.
You
didn't even know his number.
I don't care about his
72.
Number. I care about his production, all right?
I watch him. You were watching
something else.
I
didn't know
your
number.
Watching Tom.
I didn't know your number until you showed me your tattoo. And I said, oh, yeah, you were a great nose tackle. I remember.
Except he had the six upside down. It was 79.
But it looked right to him, though.
In the mirror.
The mirror looked right.
Saw enough that he's physically talented. The other kid's not talented.
Agreed.
You know, so
agreed.
Steve, it's an upgrade. There's no question about it. Nobody's sitting here telling you
that
he's going to be a Pro Bowl player right out of the gate.
Right.
Okay?
Now you just doubled down. Idiot.
He's going to be.
What's wrong with you?
I've been wrong with this stuff.
But it's got to be an improvement over what you're seeing right now.
He will.
With Newhouse.
Agreed.
Yeah. Dino's in Jersey. Dino.
Right there.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Dino.
Hey, well, one quick point. Kyle Van Noy doesn't get enough credit. Guy's a stud.
He is a stud.
What do you mean he's not getting enough
credit?
I agree. He is a stud. No. I guarantee.
He's getting a lot of credit.
I think, listen, as a group, tremendous. Hightower.
Yep.
But I feel like he flies a little more under the radar and doesn't get as much recognition as he should because he's a beast.
Okay, if you're talking nationally, I think they're all under the radar because people look at them. And even tonight, again, Tony Romo said the same thing. He said, well, this is no-name defense. Hold on there. Okay, I'll give it to you in a second, Dino.
We're doing this first.
But you tell me, when we get to the Pro Bowl competition, Stephon Gilmore, Pro Bowl, right?
Yes.
Jamie Collins is probably going to be a Pro Bowl.
Although Jamie Collins has slipped a little bit
from the first four or five games.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But Kyle Van Noy is going to be in consideration.
Yeah.
Devin McCourty is also probably going to be
a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah. So you're going to end up at the end of this year, if this defense continues to play at a high level, Dino, they're going to probably have three Pro Bowl players and maybe two All-Pro players, right?
But let's hope they not playing in the Pro Bowl. But,
agreed.
Offensively,
that's
right? I think when Wynn comes back, it's going to change things dramatically. I know this kid, but he's got to stay healthy. If he doesn't stay healthy, Fred might have to suit up and
I'll try, my brother.
We'll get better production. But Wynn, the first game he played, right? I look at Bud Dupree, and Bud Dupree's a pretty good player. You wouldn't have even known Bud Dupree got off the bus in that first game, right? He's got great feet, and he's very strong.
Great hands, so, body angles, everything.
I think it's going to change things dramatically because you can see Brady's getting His feet are moving. He's missing. He's missing some throws low and bad because everything is sped up. He's rushing and he's forced. If he was getting rid of the ball in under 2 seconds before, he's getting rid of the ball in 1.3 seconds now.
Looks that way, doesn't
so
it?
He will change things dramatically. Just watch. I know. Steve, you're saying let's wait, but.
He's not a cure-all. Dino.
Yeah, the first week may be a high order.
He's basically a rookie. Yeah.
He is not a cure-all.
All right? If you're expecting him to come in and to cure the offensive woes that you have right now, you're going to be disappointed because there's first off, the left tackle is probably the biggest. I'd say it is the biggest part of the offensive problems. But there's others. There's a backup center. There's a fullback that's missing. So the idea that a guy who's played six quarters of football in the NFL is going to come in and change this offense fundamentally, it's not going
to
happen.
He'll give him more time to throw.
He'll have more time. Brady will have more time to throw the ball.
Yeah, but Dino,
he doesn't hold up. Yeah, I'm listening.
But you're not being fair to expect him right out of the gate. You said the first game, and you're talking about earlier in the season, he was at a conditioning level that every other player was at that point. He had turf toe. So now you're asking him to come in next week after coming off of that injury where the conditioning drops.
Our offense is going to progressively get
in the long run.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That
makes more sense than turning it around.
Again, we're starting down here with Marshall Newhouse. We're starting down here. So, of course, he's going to be better. But to expect him to go out there, especially if you're running the no huddle, and you expect his conditioning coming off of turf toe?
No, he was getting conditioning. But football conditioning, Steve alluded to, it's different taking the pounding. He's going to take a little bit of time to get that under his belt. But the no huddle, that's going to be a problem.
Does it bother you that he's an undersized left tackle?
Not undersized. 320.
Does it bother you that he's an undersized left tackle?
Tackles are usually taller.
Okay.
We're going to sit.
Who's the shortest left tackle in the NFL?
Bob Smith.
Wrong.
Rob Smith from
what team is he on, Fred?
He's with the
Notice Fred went with
Tampa
Bob
Bay.
Smith.
He's Tampa Bay. Bob Smith,
you're
left
lying.
Tackle.
You're lying.
He's 5'11".
4'11".
Right.
How big does he play in
the testicles?
The smallest, little people league.
The smallest left tackle in the NFL in the history of the NFL was Doug Flutie. All right, come on.
He blocked and threw.
So that doesn't.
But he's physically, he's not. He's 6'2", but he's 2'320, and he has great.
A lot of people thought he was a guard. Coming out of college, they thought he was a guard, correct?
Separate your fanboy from the reality.
Because of his body.
All right?
I'm always in reality.
Okay, so, all right, then separate
6'2 is not tall, but 320 is not small.
So that's wide.
So you're short and squat.
6'2".
Yeah, short and squat. Compared to an offensive tackle.
I know short and squat. That's short and squat.
Join the club, my friend. All right?
So that's not. What's the relevance of that? He's still strong, and he's got the size.
Okay, so in the history of – in the recent history in the NFL – what have most of the very successful left tackles look like?
6'4", 6'5".
The ones we had here, we got rid of them because they're too tall.
I didn't know. That's not true.
No, your last two guys you had were real tall.
Were very
Solder,
tall.
You could get under his arms because he's so lanky.
So now it's a detriment to be tall.
So that's why the Patriots went shorter and tighter.
So it's a detriment to be tall.
Yeah. Well, the Patriots think, though, they picked him up.
Belichick's going with all
but
short
size,
guys now.
All strength, quickness.
Well, you know what it is? As Brady you know what happens is when you get older, you shrink. Brady's getting older, so he's shrinking, so they have to get smaller offensive linemen.
So you can see over them.
Right.
That's a good point.
Right.
Either that or the next quarterback that Belichick wants to draft is going to be some 5'9 guy.
Right.
Steve, you didn't shrink. You grew some.
But,
unbelievable.
It's not even.
Lost his mind.
He's gone.
6'1". We have another hour of this.
Everybody, he's fine. Perfect weight for it. He's not as tall as some of the guys that failed, but
So it does bother you that he's not.
No,
he's not the prototype.
I've watched him.
He did in all fairness to Fred in the game and a half that he played the six quarters. Do you remember Fred was raving about it? We were sitting there going, Fred, he looks pretty good, doesn't he? I went, oh, good. Looks great. He's tremendous. Great footwork. Look at him, body.
He was watching The Voice. He was watching a reality show. He wasn't watching
you're
a
the
football
voice.
Game. All right, come on.
Those are the shows Fred watched. His favorite now is The Masked Singer.
Right. You're going to cry saying, Fred, you're right.
So
I was wrong again.
So what about Jimmy G? Same six quarters of good football.
I never thought Jimmy was great.
But he had six quarters of good football.
They weren't that good.
They were good.
Not as good as wins.
Oh, you're lying.
There you go, baby.
You're just flat out lying.
And that's why they gave him $35 million.
Does anybody hate to be
right?
wrong more than you?
You?
Does anybody hate to be wrong more than you? Right? I don't
you
know. When I'm wrong dealing with you, I'll let you know.
When you're wrong,
you
know, you think you're right.
Next time it happens, it'll be the first.
Loving you is wrong.
Do you know his problem with Jimmy G was? Don't
yes.
you?
Yeah, he was looking at Brady.
I said to you guys.
He was afraid he was going to take over for Brady.
I said to you guys
Fred
earlier.
Fred couldn't do that.
This guy has a real quick release similar to Marino. He's no Marino. He's no Marino. He's handsome. Marino's good. I love him.
When did anybody say that?
You and your friend over there.
Nobody ever said it.
Yes.
You're just afraid.
I said, oh, no, I'm putting it in the Hall of Fame. It's as quick as
you're
Marino.
Just afraid
he had a,
great,
he had a very quick release.
That collection of Tom Brady bobblehead dolls that you have was going to be
worthless.
Worth
a fortune now.
Does have
Who's dumber, you or me for listening to you? All right? That's what I want to know.
You came down the rabbit hole.
We are all now dumber for having listened to you.
And answering me.
You can tell it's getting late, can't you? Till it's getting late. All right, 617-779-7937. Talking about the Patriots. They are now 9-1. Reaction so far? Some people are pissed that we would say negative things about the offense. Why? Because they're 9-1. Yet Tom Brady on the post-game press conference certainly was not happy. It was the quickest we have ever seen Tom Brady. It was a minute and 45 seconds, correct? Unbelievable how quick he was. Short answers. It was shorter answers than anything we've ever heard from Belichick before. And it's because Tom realizes that this is not working on the offensive side. So how do they fix it? Because they're going to have to fix it if this team wants to win a Super Bowl. Defense looks damn good. And that's why they're 9-1 now going into next week's game at home against Dallas. We're here to talk about it on the Real Post Game Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, back here in the Real Post Game Show. It's Ordway, it's Smirlis, it's Diassi. It's 617-779-7937. Patriots win at 17-10. Kind of strange post-game press conferences. Belichick was very upbeat. Talkative, answering a lot of questions.
Smiled.
Yeah, no, his team was competitive, and they played hard. They fell behind early in the game, and unlike last week, they put it all together, yada, yada, yada. And then Tom Brady came out and did the shortest press conference I think he's ever done, a minute, 45 seconds.
In one of the worst moods you've seen him do.
The worst mood I think I've ever seen him. Yeah. Short answers. Like Bill has been in the past, almost like doing a Bill impression, and not real happy with the way
it
played out
for Tom. Tom is upbeat no matter what. We got to play hard. You know, we did okay no matter what it is.
Well, I wouldn't say upbeat exactly, but not that almost confrontational.
Yeah,
you know?
I think, and it's got to be this, guys. You're 10 games into it now. So the last few weeks he keeps on saying the defense is keeping us in the game, which, by the way, he said again today. And the defense is keeping us into the game. We got to get better offensively. We got to execute well. We got to do this. We got to do that. And every week he says the same thing, and guess what? You see the same result.
Right.
They're still struggling to get the offense together. So I think he's looking at it, Fred, 10 games into it. This is the personnel. I mean, we're going to get a left tackle back next week, but this is mainly my personnel. How the hell are we going to fix this thing? We're running out of time now.
They changed things up a little bit last year towards the end of the season and dictated.
Well, they did it out of necessity because Gordon left. He was gonzo, and then they ran the football. But they had the personnel to run.
It also coincided with the teams they were trying to play. When you know you have to play Kansas City, you want to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. That's part of controlling the ball, and maybe the same thing with that with the Rams offense. But I think you're right. I think he looks at it and thinks, okay, you could see how they could make that pivot last year. Maybe he doesn't see the personnel available to make the pivot again this year, or whatever pivot, not that same pivot, whatever they have to do offensively to win a Super Bowl. Maybe he looks at it and says, you know, I've been here for 20 years. I don't see the personnel that we need to pull this off.
Well, look at it. It's gone. Devlin's gone. You know.
We know everybody's gone, but how do you think?
No, but I'm saying they had an option they could do because they had the personnel. That personnel's not there. So what are we going to do?
Okay, but you've said this many years, and you've been right when you've said it. So maybe you're wrong by saying what you just said. The one thing is that Bill Belichick has always been able to change things up. So in other words, you look at the personnel, you say, okay, let's throw all of this crap out. It's not working. This is what we need to do. I think they've been trying to do that over the last few weeks, and he can't find it.
It's always next man up.
So let me ask you.
The next man might not be capable of maybe once. I mean, we've seen it a lot of times. Bringing a Super Bowl, the guy's injured, the guy's playing for other people. This time, maybe Tom's looking at it going, we just can't change it up.
So you look at Baltimore, and you look at that is a tough matchup. But I think defensively, they might be able to find ways of fixing that if they face Baltimore again, especially if they face them here in New England. That would be a difference. On the other hand, they may end up facing Kansas City in an earlier round. And what does everybody do to Kansas City right now that knocks them out? You run the football right at them. They can't stop the run. You can't do that. So now suddenly your defense is not going to hold them to 10 points against the Kansas City Chiefs, right? That is an impossible task to do. And now your offense can't run, which is the weakest part of Kansas City's entire team. So that becomes a tough matchup. I think Brady sees all of this stuff, knows all of this, and knows that they've got to find a way of fixing it. And right now,
he's looking around that locker room going, where is it going to come
from? He's running out of weeks, and he's looking at it saying, how are we going to do this?
Right.
They had 2 weeks to get this offense back in gear. They were doing some different things. We heard it over the last week. They were going to change some stuff up. Guess what? I didn't see anything much different. Did you?
No, didn't see it.
Maybe a few more screen passes than we've seen in other games.
But they weren't working because you didn't get that wall out in front. You were catching the ball.
Agreed.
Off the screen. But you were losing 2 yards.
True.
Let's go to Blair up in Maine. Blair, you still awake?
I'm still awake.
Good. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
What did you say?
Speaking different language. I didn't hear. Go ahead, Blair.
All hell has gone loose in my house.
Oh, you all right?
I did something stupid, hearing all your jokes and your laughters, and then I break a lamp just now by accident.
I'm sorry. You can replace a lamp.
You're having fun. That's all that matters.
I'm having a bad night already, I guess, breaking a good lamp.
Okay.
That's all right. You can always replace that as long as you're okay.
I'm okay. The lamp isn't. It broke. My mom's going to be pissed as hell at me as no other.
Okay. All right.
But anyways, let's talk about the Patriots. Yeah, we're going to get another Super Bowl if they can get bigger wins than they did tonight.
Yeah.
They're going to need a few.
Yeah, but all your laughters and jokes, it's kind of pathetic. It needs to be all about sports.
Yes, sports. I agree.
We're laughing.
I agree.
Sports.
You should talk to Fred because Fred wants all Fred wants to do is laugh and joke.
And enjoy the night.
Okay, we'll do.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks.
Just go replace the lamp now. Dave is in Narragansett. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave. Hello.
Having trouble hearing you, Dave.
Hello, Dave. Okay, goodbye, Dave. I can't do
it. Damn it.
By the way,
he had something important to say, too.
No, he didn't.
Damn it.
He probably lost a lamp, too. So
he broke his lamp because we were laughing?
So how about
Blair.
Why did the National Football League waste everybody's time by putting in a review of pass interference? And I understand why they did it after last year in the NFC Championship game and said, oh, my God, we can't let something catastrophic like that ever happen again. But why didn't they treat it with severe cases of pass interference are going to be overturned? Because I saw one today in the first quarter of a Texans game against Baltimore in which Marlon Humphrey, the cornerback, was grabbing, clutching, holding DeAndre Hopkins while trying to make a play in the end zone. It was challenged by Billy O'Brien, and everybody on the TV said, oh, this is going to get overturned. It was a no-brainer. It was exactly the video that they show on pass interference.
Right.
This cannot happen. It also was a touchdown, okay, that was taken away.
Yep.
So now it did severe damage and churned and changed the outcome of the game with a score. And the officials came back and said, the call on the field stands. Are you kidding me?
There's nobody watching that game. And even Dan Fouts, was it Dan Fouts doing the game?
Yeah,
Dan Fouts said, there are at least, in that one little scenario of film right there, video right there, there are at least three instances that you could call for pass interference. There's, and Dan Fouts sometimes
doesn't rip the refs.
He doesn't rip anything, really. But he actually is like, this is ridiculous. The NFL refs that look at this and don't see what is obvious to anybody who's ever watched pro football.
You know what they're doing, Steve? They were told, we're putting this phony baloney rule in so that we can prevent a catastrophe from happening. So if this were a tied game and this happened at the end of a game, I think they would have overturned it.
No.
I think they would have overturned it. I think they're using it for protect. But it was 7 points.
So
and it could have been
happened,
a momentum. Granted, it was a 41-7 game. So it's hard to look at it now and say it was a
but
factor.
There was some
in the
momentum
game.
There that was taken away.
Some, yeah.
But how many have they overturned? I don't think they've overturned.
Three, I think.
Is it three out of
yeah, very
how many?
Small percentage.
40, 50?
More than that.
There's been tons of
70
you
or
look
80,
at them and go, wait a minute, this is what is pass interference? If you showed that
that's
a film,
pass interference.
Your teacher go, that is right. Absolutely pass
that
interference.
That was pass interference. That was a no brainer. I understand that you do not want to use that review so that coaches can challenge it on stuff that is borderline. Because let's face it. Pass interference is tough. It's subjective. It's tough to make that call. But that one, Dan Fouts was right.
So,
that one was obvious in three different places.
So maybe this is the first year of it. Maybe the NFL has decided they're going to teach the coaches to not be free with their challenges, to know that it's tough to get it overturned, so make sure it's only the most egregious cases that you could think of.
That was
that
pretty
you could
close.
Possibly see. That was.
Has Belichick challenged a single one of them this year?
I don't know.
I think he did one.
I don't know.
I'm not sure he has.
Yeah, I'm not
and
sure.
And Belichick may look at it and say, this is a farce.
Exactly.
Why am I going to waste
the NFL and the referees want.
It's a farce.
Yeah.
But also what they're doing, they don't want to overturn their partners here. This is their guys, right? If a ref overturns one,
but
it's showing that they're wrong.
Fred,
you're basically doubling down on stupid then if you do that.
But it looks that way, Steve, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, you're right. I can't argue with that. You're right.
So we're not going to put up with this ref. So what happens is
we're going to teach you not to throw
the challenge flag. Yeah. Don't be stupid.
You're not going to win.
Contradict us.
Oh, that is so stupid. I really believe the only reason they put it in is that if we ever have a case in a playoff game at the end.
Like we did last year,
that there is now something in place to fix it. That is the only reason it is there.
Okay.
Only reason it is there.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that they should, when somebody throws a red flag, if it's a borderline call, that they should overturn it. What I'm telling you is, in a play like that today, they're basically telling me, we're not going to overturn pass interference. What is the true definition of pass interference unless it's at the end of a game and it's the difference of a team winning or losing at the end of the game? And if that's the case, then tell everybody.
So don't bother us in the first quarter with your challenge.
Second
flag.
Or third quarter. Right. I don't want to see it. Game's got to be on the line at the end. They're only covering their ass so that they don't have what happened last year in New Orleans happen to them again. That is
We put in a safety event.
That is it. We've seen enough of these calls now to know it's a bunch of BS. It's a joke. Why even bring the rule in?
Agreed.
Other than that, that's the only reason the rule's there.
Show people that we're doing something about it.
You don't hear us that often, Glenn, but you make a whole lot of sense.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. So, what do you think, Fred? Am I making some sense here? No, he doesn't think so.
Take a picture.
He doesn't think so.
You're talking to your find
look
something.
At his face.
This is me
there
making sense.
Look how sad he looks. He looks like Brady after the game tonight. Look at him. He's so sad. All right, we'll get back to the phone calls, I promise. 617-779-7937 on the Real Post Game Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, back here in the Real Postgame Show. The Patriots are now 9-1, 17-10. Your final today. I know since we're doing the Real Postgame Show with Sunday Night Football, and normally you hear Sunday Night Football, it is right now, was it 17? What was the score on the 10-7. Right, 10-7.
Lighten them
up. The Rams on
all
top
that firepower you paid all that money to.
What happened to Sean McVay being the great young up and coming coach that was going to take over coaching? What happened? It's not going. So Todd Gurley can't.
Well, what did they pay Cooks? What, 50, 60 million?
He got the deal that continued 80 million.
80 million.
Yeah. Yep. But it's not all guaranteed. But they've paid Jared Goff, they've paid Todd Gurley. And the problem is they have
Aaron Donald,
who deserves the money. He's the one guy you're not worried about. Yeah. But you're giving all of that money now, and the window of opportunity for them to win the whole thing is closing down right now. They're going in to a new stadium next year. If Goff doesn't turn out to be the real deal, they're screwed.
How much is guaranteed?
They're screwed.
Did they give Jalen Ramsey a new deal, too?
I do not believe they've given him a new deal.
I don't know if they did or not.
No.
But
he'll get a new deal because you don't want to lose him.
Absolutely right.
Or you're going to lose him because you've
already
given up too much money. You've
given up two first round, or one first round pick or something.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. They've given up draft assets to do all of this. It is basically was a 2-year window.
Yep.
And next year they're going to start paying the price as they go into the new stadium.
Agreed.
With personal seat licenses. I don't know what the cap number would be, except they're really in tight. Starting next year, Fred, they're in a tight situation.
They absolutely are. And if they sit pat with the way the draft is shaping up right now, they will have gone by the end of this Jalen Ramsey deal, a payout deal for Jalen Ramsey, they will have gone 5 straight years without a first-round pick, which is just amazing. You know, I mean, granted, last year would have been number 31 or whatever, but the year before would have been better the year before that, and it looks like next year is going to be somewhere around the middle of the pack.
I know, but the killer in that league is if you
trade for players.
If you finally get a quarterback that you think is your guy,
yeah,
and then you pay him like he's a top 5 quarterback,
right,
and he turns out to be a top 30 quarterback, more likely somewhere between 20
right?
and 30, you're screwed.
Right.
He seems so timid now. I mean, last year he. The year before, his rookie year, he was
they have
terrible.
No running game. It was easy when Todd Gurley became
pass,
such
baby.
A threat yeah. out there, Fred. The play-action pass, and he has really good receivers, was easy for
and
him.
Even Gurley's a good receiver.
Yes.
I mean, you're right. When you make things easy for your quarterback like that, it's you're going to have success. But the problem is things never go exactly as planned. You have to have backup plans.
Trust me, that's not going to go well.
There's no backup plan.
That's not going to go well if you don't have sustainability over a long period of time.
Right.
And you're in that new, big, huge, luxurious stadium where the tickets are going to be sky high and the personal seat licenses are sky high.
Fans aren't like it out there.
Good luck.
And
good luck.
And in a town that has notoriously not supported the NFL that great.
Right. You know? And they'll support the Rams.
They only go to
the Chargers. The Chargers are wasting their time going into LA.
Agreed. Yeah.
Wasting their time. They're going to get nobody in this big, huge stadium. They can't draw fans right now in a stadium that has 30,000. So visiting teams go in there and fill up the stadium. It's like every game is a road game. Anybody think they're going to sell?
That in San Diego, Pittsburgh.
Right?
Remember that?
They're going to sell personal seat licenses in a brand new stadium.
Who come up with that
for
idea?
The Chargers? Good luck to you.
No.
We finally have Dave in Narragansett. Dave, you with us?
Yeah. Hey, Glenn, Fred, Steve.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Hey, Dave. Great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
So I want to talk about a little bit about the importance of tonight's game, and I think it was very under-highlighted about how significant tonight's win was.
Agreed.
So I would say that the Baltimore Ravens, the way they're playing right now, they're absolutely hot, right?
Yep.
6 wins in a row.
Yes, and if you're looking at the standings, they're only one game behind us, even though we're 9-1, which is a great record for the National Football League, right?
Yep.
They're only one game behind us in the AFC standings. So you're talking about one more loss for us, and tonight was a big game because it was a trap game in a hostile environment, which we came away with a win in. Huge win, right? Say we lose tonight, we go down to 8-2. That's significant because now we're tied with the Ravens in the AFC record-wise, and they have home field advantage.
That's
over
correct.
Us.
Correct.
They get the tiebreak.
And beyond that, I think they have a slightly easier schedule than you do, too.
And they have a very slightly easier schedule than us going down the road from here on out.
They go go to the Rams next week, I think it is. And the Rams aren't what the Rams we thought they'd be. So that's
can't
they
score
should,
enough.
They that's should tough. Win that.
No, can't score enough at all.
The week after that, the 49ers come to Baltimore, which
Baltimore will be the favorite.
Baltimore will should win that game.
It's a home game.
Yep. And then after that, you've got the Bills, the Jets, the Browns, and the Steelers.
Right.
They could run the table.
They could.
At least two of the last ones. Bills they will could. Beat them.
No, you're right, Dave.
Let's be real.
Dave,
Bills aren't going to beat
them. Dave, I think
you know you'll beat them, Pittsburgh. I'm telling you. I was right last week.
No, you weren't.
Dave, I think it's gigantic.
The
you're right.
Last week.
Because 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were not talking about the number one seed being in jeopardy. We all thought that the AFC championship was going through New England. It's all up for grabs. And I don't think the Patriots – I think the Patriots may only be able to lose one more game the rest of the way.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And the funny thing is coming into the season, everyone was talking about, the big bad Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, dual threat quarterback. Well, look who's the dual threat quarterback now, Lamar Jackson. And he absolutely shredded those boogeyman linebackers.
They will still, I'll tell you this right now, you'll still have to pay attention to Mahomes.
Oh, it still absolutely will.
He's
absolutely. And it might be even worse for you, Dave.
Right?
You might get both of them. So you might get the Chiefs in an early round and Baltimore in the AFC championship.
It's weapons, though, with Kelce and all those guys. He has tremendous weapons.
Well, the other problem is that your offense can't score an awful lot of points.
Absolutely.
And
right.
You're suddenly expecting your defense to go out there and limit Kansas City to what, Fred? 10 points?
No.
Forget about it.
Never.
Right. So your offense may have to go out and score 27 or 28 points to beat Kansas City.
Yep.
Now, the one thing you could do to keep the ball away from Mahomes is run the football because that's what teams are doing successfully against Kansas City. But, maybe you can't run the football. So that becomes a problem against Kansas City.
So you heard
they may get them both.
You heard the Baltimore schedule. Patriots schedule seems a little bit tougher than that. You got the Cowboys coming into town this week.
It's a home game. I
home
like
game.
It.
That's fine. I like that. You got to go down to Houston play the Texans.
Not easy.
They're falling apart.
Not easy.
Not easy.
Well, look where they are.
They have a quarterback. They have a quarterback.
Yeah,
he played terrible today. I think his leg looked like
he's never lost 2 games in a row in his entire career. Just saying.
Just lying.
All right, I might be lying. And then you get the Chiefs coming here. Bengals, that's a win. Bills, that's a win. Dolphins, that's a win.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Now the Bills, that's a win automatically?
They're here, though.
Huh?
They're here.
Oh, damn.
No, he's on a Boston radio station.
I forgot.
On Buffalo, when he's on there Wednesday,
they'll
do the same thing. They'll go to the Buffalo schedule. They'll have Buffalo winning.
Yes.
You know.
I think that's a tougher schedule.
It is.
It is a tougher schedule.
For Baltimore. So you don't have a lot of wiggle room.
I agree.
If you go to 3 wins, you could still not have the number one seed.
Yeah.
I mean 3 losses. If you get 3 losses, if you lose 2 of the next 6 games, you could conceivably and
I think Baltimore's going to lose one of those. I think it's very difficult to run it. I think they lose one of those games.
That would be 10 wins in a row going to the playoffs.
Right.
Doesn't happen a lot.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
But okay, let's say
But that means New England can only lose one more game.
One more game.
And that's where you've got a real tight stretch here.
Absolutely.
Joe's in Dunstable next.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thanks, Joe.
I just wanted to mention how the defense came out a little rusty, but then in the second half, that adjustment and that the way they just came and attacked was incredible. It was also nice to see our rookie receiver out there making a couple of catches.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they don't want to use him a little bit more in the red zone. I mean, he's 6'4". The guy is huge. He's a big target. And I don't feel that they utilize that just yet. And do you have any reason why they're not
doing that?
I mean, I know Brady doesn't have trust in him, but he made a couple catches there. They weren't that easy. And he grabbed them. I mean, I don't know.
It's the first game he's played, though, Joe.
Yeah,
and the
other part of that, and Fred and Glenn will tell you the same thing. It's not the red zone is not simply about being big and strong and quick. There's plenty of guys like that fit that description. Red zone touchdown guys are guys that will go up and fight for the ball and establish their ground.
Yeah, like Gronk, yeah, he's
Gronk was great. Gronk was great. There's a number of other receivers.
Gronk would box out a couple of guys and go up there, but you know,
but we don't see what he did. He's been doing in practice. Obviously, if they thought he was ready, they'd have put him in. You know?
Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
got
so
it.
The only thing he has in common with Gronk is he's almost as tall. I mean, right. He really can't look at it that way. I think as time goes on, N'Keal Harry, unless they're totally wrong about this guy, is going to be. You know, a significant contributor.
Yeah.
But, and we saw it tonight. People talk about the trust factor with Brady. But you got to understand, when you're playing in tight, close games, Brady keeps on talking about this. We saw Carson Wentz sometimes tonight take sacks and get huge losses. Brady doesn't do that. Brady lives for another play, throws the ball out of bounds. He looks at it that way.
Don't lose the yardage.
Exactly. It's a matter of limiting the number of mistakes. So Jacoby Myers, on a pass pattern that he's probably run in practice a zillion times, went the wrong way. Looked like he was supposed to cut outside.
Yep.
He cut inside, got bottled up with the defender, and Brady throws that expression of, oh, my God, what the hell went on? Well, that could have been a disaster and a major pick when you've got a one-score game. Why? Because Jacoby Myers is still not up to speed because he hasn't been around long enough to understand you need to be in the right spot.
Not everyone can play this offense either.
So people wonder why Brady loses a trust in the young players. That's a prime example of it right there, Fred. That was almost a disaster tonight.
Agreed.
That's a touchdown.
Yeah, you talk about Brady getting hit. How many sacks did the Patriots have? Six. They sacked Wentz five times, I think.
Five different guys.
And hit him a number of times. I would bet that Brady got hit more than Wentz did, even though Wentz had five sacks.
He did.
Brady Brady had one sack.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he got hit. No, I can't guarantee, but I would.
And you're right.
Just from what I saw, it looked like Brady was getting hit more than
Wentz. The only difference was the approach of the two different quarterbacks.
Right.
Brady has a much different approach in all of this. He lives for the next play. He's willing to take throw it out of bounds. Big deal.
Wentz thinks he's a young guy. He thinks he can run through the. Here comes the pressure, and he's going to try
all
run through it.
All these guys think that.
He's getting sacked.
So instead,
you know when you're beaten, get rid of the ball.
So instead, you go from a second and five, and next thing you know, it's third and 17 or third and 18.
That's what you're avoiding.
Which makes it a very difficult completion in the third down situation. Converting that is very difficult. Brady, on the other hand, looks at it and says, okay, I didn't gain any yards, but I didn't lose any.
That's right.
And the chances of me completing that play were very slim to begin with because I was in trouble. So I'm not going to be able to
the best case
set
scenario.
My feet.
You see it all the time. You know,
stupid.
He's a guy that gets rid of the ball, so don't lose the yardage and gives you another chance.
But I know people are all over him. Brady going, oh, just throw the ball to the young kids. Ah, what the hell? You got nothing to lose. He's got a lot to lose.
They're going
to
be
open. And you almost saw it tonight with Jacoby Myers. And Myers has done some nice things. I'm not trying to put the kid down. And I'm sure Brady would feel the same way. He's done some nice stuff. But it's a mistake like that in a one-score game in which you say, we were lucky that we didn't get that picked off. Lucky.
A couple of them. Yeah. You know, that's how close it was. So him throwing the ball away saved turnovers and also saved yardage. Perfect.
All right, we take a quick break. We'll be right back at you. We'll be here until 11 p.m. And then if you missed the first hour with Brady, with Belichick, you'll hear all of that all over again. You can listen to yourself, Fred, on the way home.
I love
awesome.
That. It's the best.
That makes one of us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, back here on the Real Postgame Show. Not going to get fooled again, Fred. It's going to stick right to us. It's time for our...
What do they call that music when you come back into the show? What's it called? Not intro music. What do they call it?
What do you mean, what do they call it?
Like this, when you play music coming back into the show.
Oh, it's a rejoiner?
Rejoiner. That's right. Some good choices tonight. Some very good choices back
there. We'll talk to the crew back there.
They're
terrific tonight.
I know. They've done a great job.
What are we, in the 60s?
I love what Bob and Janet are doing back there. All right.
What are they doing?
What?
Don't get fooled again.
You were close.
Was I?
Yeah, you were close. Weren't that far off.
Well, they're just so young and vibrant. I didn't think they'd know all the music from back in your guys' days. I'm just saying.
Well, they're probably reading off a song list.
Good point. That's a good point.
They'd probably rather play Post Malone right now, and they're not allowed to.
Joe Malone? No, it's Post Malone. Some mailman named Malone?
No.
Who?
It's a guy with the tattoos all over his face.
That's kind of redundant.
He does it his own tattoo work.
Sam Malone.
No. Post Malone. Does his own.
Sam Malone.
Would you ever do that, Fred?
Post Malone's a guy
that... You don't have tattoos, do you, Fred?
Yes.
Would you ever do your own? If you really wanted tattoos, would you ever do your own tattoos? What do you look in a mirror and sit there and put the ink in?
I know my limitations, and I can't draw it all. So
what if you're in prison and have no choice?
If you what?
You're in prison and have no choice but to do your own...
You don't have any tattoos, do you?
Don't they have, like, ink guys in prisons or whatever?
Yeah.
So you have tattoos, but you never do it...
6 to 10, right?
On your own.
No.
How dumb is that?
Where would you put... I can't even bend my elbows.
I couldn't reach back there.
You don't want to reach back there, Steve. The stuff there from the 60s.
Even if you were a great artist, would you do it? I mean, I'd be afraid.
They really do it themselves?
Because it's painful, isn't it? Everybody tells me that it has tattoos. I say, when you got the tattoo, was it painful? They go, oh, my God, it was awful.
Yeah.
So why would you do it? Why would you want the pain?
Because you're in college and you're drunk.
Okay. So you're numb when you do it.
What? You're supposed to be.
I didn't.
I made sure that I wasn't.
Did you go to Rhode Island?
We did. You had to go to Rhode Island when he was a BC.
We took a carload of guys.
You couldn't do it? They didn't allow it in Massachusetts?
Didn't have them back then, yeah. Wow. And then the other ones I got with my kids' initials, I did that.
And then one time you just woke up and they had one across your forehead.
Yeah, I think. I remember.
Most guys at BC had a BC Eagle on their buttocks.
Not the hip, not the buttocks.
It's a buttocks. It's not your
it's
hip.
Not like
it's
Forrest
your
Gump. It's not buttocks.
It's buttocks.
All right? What's wrong with you?
All right, it's time for the player of the game.
Sorry, where were we before? It's all sponsored
by Cars for Kids. It'd be a great time to clean out your garage. Donate that whole car to Cars for Kids. See how easy it is. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, online, carsforkids.com. How about Terrence Brooks today?
Terrence Brooks.
I'm not
giving it to Brady today. I'm sorry, Fred. We are not.
The things he had to go through.
I agree. I'm not blaming him, but I'm not giving him the player of the game. Well, sorry, Fred.
How about Belichick? Can you give it to Belichick?
Isaiah Wynn for next week.
Isaiah Wynn in anticipation.
Isaiah
Wynn.
So Terrence Brooks led the team in tackles. Okay.
And led
the team in quarterback. I take it back. Hightower had three quarterback hits. He had two. He had a good game,
he made some
big plays. One mistake at the
defense,
end,
yeah.
Unnecessary roughness penalty late in the game. But he had some big plays. So we give it to Terrence Brooks.
Yeah.
What do we give them?
What do you mean? Nothing.
We send him like pitches or something? Chips?
Pictures.
Why don't we give him something?
A hail.
I have no idea.
And hearty handshake.
I have no idea.
How about a menu for Fred and Steve?
No, it's a laurel wreath and a hearty handshake.
Right.
I think that's what it is. Whatever. Peter's in Boston. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hey.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
great,
Peter.
What's going on?
How you doing?
All right, so what's the biggest problem with this team right now, and how do they win the Super Bowl?
Offensive line right now is, I'm calling that the biggest problem that they have. And how do they win a Super Bowl?
I don't know.
They beat the rest of the teams.
How do they win the Super Bowl? Hopefully you're upgraded when Isaiah Wynn can play left tackle. That upgrades your offensive line.
I think the problem is they don't have Rob Gronkowski and they're not going to win the Super Bowl. That's the bottom line because they don't have him.
They lost him with Gronkowski.
But we're talking about you said this team. You didn't say other teams. You said this team. This team has.
Yeah, but I think we're complicating it. They don't have Gronkowski. They're not going to be able to win.
But again, they're not going to have him. Peter, I apologize. I thought you were talking about this team.
Well, they're not going to have him.
You remember this? They won. They lost with Gronkowski, and they won without him. Super Bowl.
Well,
they're not going to have
him. Why do you hate
Gronk?
I'm saying. I think he's great, but I did win without him.
So I've already heard this today.
He hasn't been here since May or so.
So apparently, he's come out and said he has a major announcement on Tuesday. Okay, we know what the announcement's going to be. It's going to be some commercial venture that he's involved in or some network. He's utilizing the curiosity surrounding him to get pub for the things that he's doing outside of football. And yet people think that Tuesday he may announce he's coming back to the
Well, let me ask you,
right.
He wants pub.
There's no way they win without him.
Peter, let me ask you this. What do you expect?
They have without him, though, Peter.
Do you expect him to come back? Do you expect him to come back for that reason? I mean,
I don't.
What about?
He may come back. This would set a precedent. A guy sitting out most of the year and might change the NFL. Really.
No, it won't. How about this? What can they do with this team that they have in place right now? Any idea? No chance.
Lose in the second round or the AFC Championship.
All right, that could be.
Get some sleep.
We can't sit here and talk about Gronk being the difference right now.
If?
Fred already brought it up. They've won without Gronk.
And they lost with Gronk.
They're better with Gronk. We all agree.
Agreed.
It would be wonderful if you had Gronk.
Agreed.
I just don't see it happening.
Nope.
It's not happening. We're wasting our time.
But if you want publicity, Glenn.
I'm not complaining about him. He's doing the right thing.
If I'm saying if he wanted a ton of publicity, he came back. That would be front page.
But he's already moved on with these other ventures.
But you can use that stuff when you're playing.
No, he's using it right now. Yeah. What he's doing is he's coming out and saying that he has a major announcement on Tuesday, and there are people that are sitting there going, oh, my God, he's going to announce he's coming back to play for the Patriots. He's not, but he's using that curiosity people have to get
people to pay attention
to what he has to say on Tuesday.
Smart.
So that only lasts so long.
Eventually it's going to wear off.
Something about being a broadcaster for the new Fox wrestling programs. That's what it's going to be. How's that sound?
That's pretty good. Good wrestling team.
Getting paid, it's good. Good for you. I'm happy for you. That's great.
You mean Foxborough Wrestling High School team?
No, Fox.
Fox.
Fox. Follow. You know that you
may, they do you, Friday night. You know, Fox. SmackDown. You know, they do it on Friday.
You know
night.
Fox, the only news program you've ever watched in your life?
Yeah.
That same Fox.
Oh, good.
Same company.
I'll watch.
All right.
Good. Thanks, Steve. Well, I gotta go home tonight.
It's a little bit different, Steve. Yeah, Hannity sits here and talks sports for about
an
hour. Yeah, it's good.
Him and Gronk talk wrestling.
Jordan's in New Bedford.
The best, though.
Hello, Jordan.
Jordan.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
Great,
how are
Jordan?
You?
Good. I'm on my way to work, actually, but I had this idea, right? I really love Tom Brady, and I want to have 30-plus touchdowns this year. I just don't think it's going to be happening.
No.
I think they're going to make the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win. Remember when Peyton Manning won his final Super Bowl and everybody saw it and was like, man, he really didn't deserve that. That defense really carried them.
That's true.
I feel like that's exactly how the Pats are going to end the season.
They might have to.
And you know what? And Tom Brady may be done after this. You know what I mean? I really truly think that they can beat them. I think that if we can get home field advantage, we're all set with that defense. Yeah.
And if he wins the Super Bowl, you figure he's done.
I don't.
If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, does he stay?
I got to tell you, Steve, I thought it was a possibility, and it was my own made-up little theory that other people have had, that if he wins it this year, could he possibly drop the mic and say, I got seven, you know, I've done something nobody else has ever done before, I can walk away. After talking to him this week, we had him on this week, I'm convinced he loves the game.
He
loves football.
What was he saying? Why was he
until it changes, then? Until that changes, until he suddenly sees the need for changing his lifestyle outside of football, I don't see it, Fred. I think he wants to come back, and I think the biggest fear, you know, when people talk about him going and possibly playing for another franchise, I don't think it's going to happen. But the only way it would happen is if the Patriots wanted to move on from Tom Brady.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think he would continue to play football.
If there was,
I think he just loves it.
If there was a situation where he wasn't walking into a Cincinnati Bengals scenario.
No, he's not doing that.
No, he's not doing something like that.
He would walk into a comfortable situation. But I don't think he's going to do it because I don't think there's any way the Patriots are going to let him go. You know, as bad as the offense was today, how much of that was Tom Brady's fault? Some of it, you got to give it. But how much? Not a lot. He's not the problem.
That's the first time I've ever seen him with his eyes glaring, you know, black, and they didn't have a sparkle at all. Something was taken away tonight. I've never seen him dejected.
Would you call that pissed or sad? What would you think? Because you're good at this.
It would be pabbed. Pabbed, pissed, and half sad.
What?
He's only good at it because he stared into Tom Brady's eyes longer than anybody in the history of mankind, including his wife. All right? Just saying.
I've seen Tom's eyes in every different scenario. That was different today.
You see him on the ceiling of your bedroom. All right? Staring
out of my bedroom, please.
What is wrong with you?
I thought today
you want a list.
Something, something was bad today.
I agree.
I've never seen him like this.
I agree that was as direct, outspoken, and as I don't want to say angry, but there was some anger there.
Yeah,
there was some anger.
He did not want to answer those questions.
No. Nope.
And he's one of those guys that's pretty accommodating.
Yes.
Matter of fact, he maybe is the most accommodating superstar I've ever seen in that setting. It was because he's got no answers. You know, Brady said it before. He said, I've got all the answers to all the questions.
Right.
I don't think he has any of the answers to what's going on right now.
Right.
Every single week he goes to practice. He sits down with Josh McDaniels. They devise new ways they're going to do things. During the bye week here, 2 weeks, they even said it this week. They were going to do some things differently. Guess what? They tried to, and they couldn't do it.
20 points.
Still has those answers. Doesn't have a pen with which to write them down.
No, here's the story, though, Steve. He has the answers to everything they do on the field. I don't have the answers to blocking my guy, protecting myself from the block.
The answer to the question, the other question is how do we surround ourselves with the right mix of guys that can get this job done? He doesn't have that answer. He has the answer. There's nothing he'll see out there that he doesn't understand. There's nothing.
Right.
All right, but that doesn't change what you have out there at left tackle, the fact that your fullback's gone, the fact that you've got a backup center who's doing an adequate job. You know, you're talking about an offense right now that's just not near even remotely as good as he's had in the past 12 years.
So let's look at Baltimore, because you could look at it and say, well, if he could scramble because he's constantly under pressure, he'd probably be able to do a few more things, and I would agree. But look at what Baltimore did. We already gave Harbaugh some credit earlier. But look at what the whole organization did. So they looked at it, and Lamar Jackson in that playoff game against the Chargers was eaten up alive. Yeah. He couldn't do anything, all right, because it all had to be on him. So what do? They go out and get Ingram, so they get a running back. They got a couple running backs right now, so they can kind of do
Heisman
that RPO,
people.
And they can kind of – so now you have to be concerned not only with a quarterback who can run – but a couple running backs that can run. Then they loaded up with tight ends. They lined up the tight ends sometimes in the backfield with him, alongside him, and big ones. And now suddenly they've got blockers, and they've got guys that can keep bodies off of him. So they devised this whole system around him. So he couldn't do it all by himself. What you've got with Tom Brady right now is you don't have a mobile quarterback outside of the pocket. He's mobile in the pocket. But guess what? That pocket is collapsing
too quickly now.
Right. You don't have the tight ends. You can't run around the edges. You've got a left tackle right now that, what did you call him, a turnstile or whatever.
Yep.
There are a lot of issues here. You're taking a linebacker in a Landon Roberts and putting him back there just to protect your quarterback.
They do that a lot. So based on guards and linebackers.
Okay, so where's the answer? You've already improved your wide receiver core by bringing in Sanu.
First of all, in order for him to use his abilities to read everything on the field, he has to be upright, right? So the big thing is, like Steve had alluded to, he has to be upright in order to take advantage of all his knowledge.
He's got to be able to
see.
That's
the one thing he can't control.
Can't see right now.
That's right. But one thing he can't control is that. He can control where the ball's going. He can control, you know, where he throws it to. He reads all these things perfectly, but he can't do it on his back.
Did he also have a better receiving corps last year?
Yes.
He did. Had a better running game last year?
Definitely.
Yes.
Well, of course he did.
And he was protected better last year. So there's a lot of things going on.
The game is speeding up, and we've always said this, that as the game speeds up around him, Tom Brady slows down almost where he's in slow motion, and he can figure it all out. Well, the game is speeding up on him right now, and he's getting caught up in the speed of it. We've never seen him throw the ball away more, ground the ball more than he's doing this year, because he's trying to limit the mistakes, because they can't afford a couple of turnovers. We've already seen it. If he turns the ball over a couple times, that's a killer for him. He can't afford it.
He hasn't had to worry about the game speeding up because he also had receivers that were he was probably a receiving core that he was more comfortable with in terms of guys getting open. He could be more comfortable in that pocket knowing that he had an offensive line that could block better. You know, there's all sorts of things that speed up a game for
a big tight end he can throw to, a big fullback.
But the idea that he's fallen off the cliff because the team they're more successful than last year at this point. But the idea that he's fallen off the cliff physically and talent wise makes no sense whatsoever.
No, I don't think he has. He just can't stay upright, and that's taking away all his tools.
All right.
Yeah.
We're gonna take one more break, and then we're gonna wrap things up. Okay.
I'm done.
I love rap.
Tired of talking to you guys.
What do you mean you're tired?
Tired of listening to you.
What? You guys don't. I try to give you all the answers, and you don't listen.
Who's going to help Fred out of the studio tonight? your job.
I did have to help.
I'm not carrying him again.
No. I did have to help.
We've been carrying you for years. We started our big show. Who was starting the big show?
Fred left the Watertown Cigar Bar like 5 minutes before I did, and so I get here and there's a car sitting at the gate. And I said, that doesn't look. Oh, it's not your son's car. So his son's car. I said, oh, I pull up. There's Fred. The stupid thing, it does not open. It's not opening for me, the gate. You'd have to punch your numbers.
You have to punch numbers.
I punch my numbers in. It didn't open. Huh? And he goes, I get the hint. I get the hint. I can't get in.
So I sure you got the right code? You probably got the wrong code again.
It's yours, but I used it for other things.
So I did that. I had to help him in, so it's your job to help him out. So.
Okay. Right, you park in the handicap spot again?
No, that's
probably. All right, we got one more break. We'll be right
back. See you, boys.
All right, back here in the Real Post Game Show, we close things out. We let Steve go because
we let him go because he's
being
a problem.
Too much. He talked too much.
And
so you only get so many words per show, and then finally the ejection seat.
He had a meeting with the Talkaholics Anonymous, and he's going to be cured hopefully sometime.
Well, you were cured. It was a real problem for you. Doing much better.
You're the king, though, baby. You created these guys.
I'll be talking again tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. I'm on 2 to 6.
And I'll
tomorrow.
Be listening.
And Bill Belichick will be on with us. He was so happy today. That was unbelievable. I still can't get over when you go back and forth and look at those two press conferences where Bill Belichick came out charming, smiling, positive.
Clean suit.
It was unbelievable. And then Brady comes out like 10 minutes later and he's miserable.
Do you think they had it out?
No, I do not.
No.
I do not. But you're going to make that up right now, aren't you?
Absolutely. They must have had a fight.
No, there you go. All right, so we're going to do the Real Post Game Show coming up next week. We'll be on again on Sunday night. This time we'll be down in Foxborough.
4 o'clock game again.
It's a 4 o'clock game again. It's another good one against Dallas. And as I said, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock with Christian, with Lou. And we'll have Patriots Monday for you. Remember, Brady tomorrow morning with Greg Hill, Boomer, and then we've got players, and then us.
When do you get
afternoon.
Belichick? Next week?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
I just said,
say hi to him for me.
I just said
you didn't say that for me. You said you had Brady.
We had Belichick tomorrow. Brady's on with Greg Hill. Are you paying attention to anything on the show?
Absolutely not.
You're useless. Get out of here.
I have a great filter for you.
Just go home. Have a great week, Fred.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. See ya. Final again, 17-10. The New England Patriots are now 9-1. Good night.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.